Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for people who are finally pregnant after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying with multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, last year I was finally pregnant, and now I'm finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren. Hello there. How are you doing? I really hope that you are well. Thank you so much for all the feedback about last week's episode, which was around extreme pregnancy sickness. I know I've said it before, but I really, really didn't realize the severity of it. And I'm so glad to be able to use this platform to help raise issues like this. Another topic I really want to cover is tocophobia, which is an extreme fear of pregnancy and giving birth. Like hyperemesis gravidarum, I just think having this phobia, which some people only realize once they are pregnant, would be so hard anyway, but especially debilitating for those who may have had a long journey to pregnancy. If you know someone who has been through this that would be happy to talk to me, please do drop me a line and put me in touch. That would be amazing. I don't know about you, but there is literally nothing going on here right now. It's so dull, isn't it? Well, obviously, Ren isn't dull. She's fabulous, but it's the day-to-day happening right now. She has learnt her colours, which is wonderful. And we're trying now to encourage lots of counting. And she generally chimes in with a 3, 4. And then when you get to 10, we get a ta. So, you know, we're working up to it. No rush. And work-wise, I'm really excited to finally be chatting to fertility clinics. It was something I really wanted to do last year and it just didn't happen. But now I'm starting to talk to them about working with them so that we can offer all of their patients more support following a positive pregnancy test. So lots more of that and other stuff to come. But, you know, there's only so much time in the day. So I'm going as fast as I can and growing as fast as I can. And actually, speaking of work and growing a business, my guest today has done just that over the last few years, incredibly successfully. Known for her fabulous pregnancy and nursing bra, the Mumba Bra, Liz Marana has recently shared her own experience of baby loss, specifically termination for medical reasons, and also early childhood illness on her Instagram account. When I saw that, I contacted her, and this is the first time that she has bravely shared her story, and it is quite emotional, but it is heartbreaking. But along with the heartbreak, there is lots of hope too. If you need support for termination for medical reasons, please, please know that it is out there. And I would absolutely recommend ARC Antenatal, Petals and Tommy's, and links to all of them are in the show notes. Before I go, I also wanted to mention that March is Pregnancy After Loss Awareness Month. I recently asked people to share a word that describes being pregnant after loss. And as many of you listening can imagine, the words that came up time and time again were anxious, terrified, scared, hopeful, holding my breath for 9 months. Not quite a word, but understandable nonetheless. It's so hard to read this, although I totally understand it because I have been there myself. If you are feeling any of these things, please know you're not alone. You can join my support groups via the Hangout or find specific support through my Finally Pregnant yoga courses. Head to katstrawbridge.com. Links are in the show notes, but know that I am here for you too if you need me. Lastly, as always, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast as it is so wonderful for me to see the reviews. It really is. And it also helps me reach even more people who need this support. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, look forward to seeing you next week. Take care. Bye bye. Before we start, time for a quick ad break. Knowing your fertile days are so important if you are trying to get pregnant or trying to avoid it. With the Mirror Fertility Tracker, you will know your fertile window up to 6 days. It is the only tracker on the market that provides you an accurate and personalized ovulation analysis by tracking your LH and estrogen hormone levels. Find out more at miracare.com. There's a link in the show notes, and get £25 off your tracker with the code FINALLYPREGNANT. Hi there, Liz. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thanks, Kat. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Having a really actually fun day. Is that the right way of putting it? Talking to people for the podcast. And it's just, I love helping, sharing people's stories and finding out people's stories myself. And your story is something you don't talk about or haven't historically spoken about particularly publicly, but I saw a reel on your Instagram recently where you had shared about having had a baby who was born at 20 weeks who sadly didn't survive, and also about when your son was around 5-6 and him going through a fairly traumatic accident as well. So I reached out to you because I think it's really powerful hearing people's stories, even when their children are that little bit older now. So you have a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old, that's right, isn't it? But it would be amazing if you could kind of tell us about your journey to parenthood.
Okay, so my husband and I were together prior to wanting to start a family about 6 years. So we've been together 3 years, we got married after 3 years, and then we decided that we wanted to start a family 3 years after getting married. So the first thing was when I started sort of doing research and speaking to my doctors, was I was on the pill, and it was just come off the pill a few months before just to sort of clear it from your system. So I thought that was probably a great idea. I'm healthy, don't smoke at the time, didn't smoke and still don't smoke. Wasn't really a big drinker either. I prior had lived with my girlfriends that I used to work with, and in those heydays I used to drink probably to the point where I was put off drink.
We've all been there, I think, probably. Well, lots of us anyway.
So, you know, I didn't drink at all, barely at the time. And so, yeah, we were ready to start a family. And I got pregnant probably about 4 months into trying. So I think that's reasonably quick. I did my test and got the pregnancy test as positive, really happy about it, and decided to share the news with our family. And probably didn't share the news with friends until probably about, it was probably my best friend who I shared the news with first. I was probably about 8 weeks pregnant by then. So we had our scan, the usual scans at about 6 weeks. And then another at 12 weeks, and everything was fine. It was great. And the wonderful thing was my best friend was also pregnant at the same time. I think we were a couple of weeks apart. So it was wonderful. And then we went to Sicily, which is where my husband is from. And I had another scan there with a private doctor. And everything again was really fine. We got the scan pictures, which we took back, and it was wonderful. I'm one of four. I have two older sisters. And at that time, my middle sister, the one who's next for me, had four children. And my other sister had had two children by that time. So going into pregnancy and wanting to start a family, it didn't pop into my mind that I couldn't have a baby or that I would have any difficulties or there would be an issue with my baby. So had the scan in Sicily, came back, everything was still fine. And I was due to have a scan again in the UK. And I started to have a few pains, but it wasn't anything major. I felt completely fine, but the doctor just made me an appointment and I came in. So had a scan, and the doctor, you know, put the jelly on your tummy. And then he went a little bit quiet, then asked me to get dressed, we were to stay in the room. And then gave us the unfortunate news that there was a problem with our baby. So he mentioned that there was a chromosome abnormality and the baby was no longer growing. So I was, as you can imagine, completely shocked, because when you go into all your scans at the beginning, you're just not expecting any kind of negative news. You're so happy, you know, you're looking forward to seeing your baby again. So it was, it was a complete shock. So he gave us the information, gave us a few moments by ourselves to sort of process what he was saying. And then he came back and explained it further and said, the fetal abnormality that you have is one that is stopping your baby from growing, basically. And you may not be able to continue this pregnancy, that the baby would be alive. It would get to a point where, unfortunately, your baby will be in stillbirth. So, unfortunately, you're going to, the best advice I can give you is to terminate the pregnancy for your own health. I was quite shocked, and my husband and I went away because it wasn't a decision that we could sort of make there. He told us to go away and, you know, talk about it and gave us some information. So, yeah, we went home. I did lots of research online because it wasn't something I completely understood. And I started to look into sort of chromosome abnormalities, and I was reading that babies survive this, and, you know, so my baby could survive this. And my husband was pointing out that, yes, babies do survive this, but the problem is the kind of abnormality in our particular situation is that our baby is already stopping to grow and not growing anymore, and it's unlikely that he will grow for the rest of the pregnancy. So we spoke to our family, and they were very supportive and, you know, completely understood the situation. But for me, I still felt that there was some kind of hope somewhere, that maybe what they were saying wasn't real. And I needed time to process it, really. So it did take me a couple of weeks before I came to the decision of what we were going to do, because I just wanted to make sure that we were obviously making the right decision. And it was what was right for us as a family. Again, like I say, because I believed that our baby could survive, but at the same time, I had to listen to the professional information that my particular circumstances wasn't one of those cases. So because it took me time, and plus I had passed a stage where a particular type of termination could go through, I had to go through what they call a medical termination, which is giving birth. So we had the appointment booked, and somehow I still hoped that even when I gave birth, there was going to be a chance that the baby could live. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. And yeah, it was very traumatic for me. My husband was very, very brave. I know for myself, I wasn't as brave as he was. Yeah, that was that situation.
So we just took a little break there. Like, that was clearly such a traumatic thing for you to go through. I have friends, unfortunately, who have been through termination for medical reasons. I want anyone that is listening to know that there is growing support out there. I will put links in the show notes to ARC Antenatal and to there's a new podcast, actually, Time to Talk TFMR, and there's, you know, there is growing support out there. So please, if you can't find anything, but I will put the links in the show notes, please contact me and I will signpost you in the right direction. Absolutely. So you have been through this experience with your first pregnancy, having gone into it with joy and happiness. And how long afterwards did you get pregnant? I guess how long afterwards maybe did you think, could I face it again? And how long afterwards did you actually get pregnant again?
So I was encouraged by my sisters, because obviously they had kids, even though they didn't have any issues. I said, you know, we've got six kids in, between us, so, you know, it will happen again for you. So, you know, they encouraged me to try again. The doctor asked me, I think it was like, have go for at least 4 months of trying to clear this out of your system, your previous pregnancy. So my husband was quite happy to say, you know, we can do this again. So we, I didn't go back on to using any kind of precautions apart from the first, I didn't take the pill, but my husband was, you know, using his precautions. And then for about 4 months after, we decided not to use any precautions. So I was really fortunate again that I was pregnant within about 5 months. So it wasn't long. When you're in the situation, it feels like it's long. You're thinking about it. As much as I was thinking about my loss, I felt like I also wanted to be in that situation again I had a baby in my tummy, you know. So yeah, I was really fortunate that I was able to get pregnant again reasonably quickly. The only thing then, obviously, is when you are then pregnant, is what you then go through being pregnant, having gone through a situation like that, and you're on edge. So with both my pregnancies following, I never shared that I was pregnant until I was 20 weeks. I was gone past that stage. I was 5 months pregnant. I knew the baby was okay. It was only when I told friends, family, and even my work colleagues, because I knew that you didn't have the all clear. So I just wanted to make sure for myself that our baby was okay.
Did you have Harmony testing or anything at that stage?
No.
10 and 11, because I know a lot of people within the fertility and loss community do end up paying for the Harmony test. But I wondered, was that around then, I guess?
I'm not sure, but no, I didn't have that test. I had the standard chromosome tests, mm-hmm. and those came out fine. But no, I'd never heard of the Harmony test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like, and it doesn't make things easier, but it's about kind of that information, isn't it? And those, like having those tests so that you are prepared. I know I wasn't able to have those tests because we had a twin pregnancy and lost one of the twins, and so it affects the results. I think that I know within the community quite a lot of people do, especially if they've been through something like that before. That's the thing. Yeah, but the first 20 weeks, like you said, you kept it a secret ultimately.
Yes.
You just almost weren't able to admit it, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. And also just felt like I couldn't really enjoy it until I knew that I was okay and my baby was okay. Even though I loved being pregnant, because I love the feeling of having a baby inside you, and I just, yeah, pregnancy is a wonderful thing. I just couldn't be comfortable with my thoughts. So that's my first pregnancy, that was the case. And so, yeah, we had our son, and 16 months later, my daughter was born, because I actually fell pregnant after 7 months after my first. And again, it was the same thing. It was just a feeling of, I want to be sure that everything is okay before sharing my news with people. Because like I said, the first time around, it was probably about 8 weeks that my friends knew, and then my work colleagues knew. And I had to take quite a lot of time off after work. And I feel like maybe if I hadn't shared, well, you know, everyone shares good news. If I hadn't shared the news, I could have gone back to work sooner, because I was worried about people talking to me and breaking down. And also the fact, and it's still one of the reasons that I don't talk about it now, it's the fact that I had a decision to make. And it was, if people understood that, you know, people terminate pregnancies for different reasons, but it was the fact that it was technically a termination, and I didn't want to have to explain to people, you know, the situation behind it. Yeah, it always just, I just felt like I wish I hadn't said anything to my friends at work that I was pregnant, because it was just difficult to deal with questions. Yes, after, so that was another reason that I left it. I just wanted to be sure, and that I could happily share the news with them, and knowing that things was going to be okay.
That makes complete sense. It really does. And, you know, it's everyone's personal decision how much they share. I think that sometimes it's good because, you know, then the support is there. Other times it's hard because there are more people to ask the questions, as you say. It really is a very personal choice. And I totally understand that because of what had happened, then you chose to not share as much. I'm saddened, although I understand, to hear that even with your daughter, like that pregnancy, so even though you had given birth to Oscar, you still felt really anxious going through the next pregnancy. That's, yeah. Was there any difference?
Not for me, no. It's it was still the enjoyment of the pregnancy. I was still enjoying it personally, but I just couldn't give that news because I wanted confirmation. Yeah, it was a strange place to be. Yeah.
It was hard.
But it was nice to finally be able to share the news with people and be excited and them to be excited for me. Yeah, after I'd gone past that stage, I felt great. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. And your two little ones, as I say, they're 10 and 11 now. So we have Oscar, who is 11, and Maya, who is 10. And so how has your parenting been impacted by your first pregnancy?
I think I did start my parenthood journey as quite an overprotective mum. And I'm not sure if I hadn't been in that situation, if I would have been like that. So, yeah, it was wanting to care for them all the time and do it all myself. I'm not sure if that's a first-time mother thing or it's a mother thing. And actually, probably not, because my sisters tell me I am quite different. So maybe it is just me. I just wanted to look after them and protect them because they were a gift to me and I needed to protect them. So I knew how lucky I was to have them. Yeah, I did start my parenting journey very much like that.
Yeah, no, I think, and it is hard to know, like we don't know because we haven't got that comparison. Quite often I'll speak to people and you know, about like a normal quote unquote pregnancy, and I spoke to Sophie from Mama Made. And her first pregnancy, even though she hadn't experienced loss or anything before, because people around her had, actually, even though it was a normal pregnancy, she was quite anxious during that. So, you know, we're all different and we all, some too often, we don't have that comparison even in ourselves because we don't know any differently, do we? So I totally hear that. It might have been you just being a mum, you know, like just obviously nothing just about that on so many levels, but it might have been like an impact because these things change us as well, don't they?
Yes, they do. Oh, most definitely. I mean, I know for myself personally, I was a different person after the last, because, you know, I was more open and I did go into myself a little bit, you know, but my family and my close friends were just amazing. Understanding, and you know, when I wouldn't call, they would pick up the phone and call me. So yeah, they were great. So yeah, it definitely does change you as a person.
Yeah, amazing to hear that you had that support around you. It really is. Now, one of the things that you talked about on the reel that you did was about your son almost losing his life when he was 5. So it's just before his 6th birthday. Now, this isn't something that we have covered previously on the podcast. I have chatted for this series with Lorna, whose daughter Imogen was diagnosed with tumours in her eye and the impact that had at 7 weeks. But when you have little ones and, you know, like, unfortunately, like sometimes things do happen. And so can you talk to us a bit about Oscar's, the accident that Oscar was involved in?
As I mentioned, my husband is from Sicily and his sister was getting married in Sicily in the August. And I was working quite a lot prior to, about 3 years prior, I was working quite a lot and I was working away quite a lot. And I would travel sometimes on the Monday and come back on the Friday. And I started to feel like I wasn't spending enough time with my children. And when they were younger, it was easier to do because they didn't really miss me as much because they didn't understand, and that's what they had grown up with. I was always the main breadwinner, and my husband, we just decided that he would stay at home and look after the kids. So when we had the wedding, I started to have some strange feelings and thoughts that, you know, I need to spend more time with my kids. And even though I had those, it was just more sort of a burning kind of feeling. Gosh, I really need to spend more time with my children. I need to make some changes to my life. So the wedding was on a Saturday. My husband had gone out a week before with the children to Sicily, and I flew in on the Friday, the night before. And I was supposed to stay for probably just leaving on the Monday, Sunday or the Monday. So that was the plan. So I arrived on the Friday, and the day of the wedding, it rained in Sicily. So all these little things, it's just very odd to me. This is August in Sicily. It never rains. And I was getting dressed. This is in my husband's parents' house. And I heard something outside, and my son had just tripped down the stairs, and they had concrete stairs outside, and there was nothing of it. But that little thing that had happened just sort of got me on edge. And then it was all fine. We all went on to the wedding. It was a church wedding in the afternoon, early afternoon, and we were then due to go to the reception. So when we arrived at the reception, my sister-in-law had organized some entertainers to look after the children so the families and the adults could have a good time. So that was all planned. But she specifically asked that the children weren't taken outside the grounds just because there was a swimming pool on the grounds, and so she wanted kids were entertained in a specific area. The entertainers then decided to take the children outside. They didn't go to the swimming pool area, but they'd taken them to another area, which was in this hotel. So the kids were playing, and then we had one of the entertainers come inside and call us. And as soon as they had called us, I just felt like I knew something bad was going to be said. And I ran when we got there, because she said, you know, something had happened to Oscar. When we got there, he was on the ground, and we were playing in a football area, and there was a full-size adult football post that wasn't attached to the ground. And so one of the children was just shaking the net, and the whole post came down and landed on his chest and threw him to the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
They had picked the posts up, and thankfully there was doctors at the wedding. And they came, they checked him. He was going in and out of consciousness. Ambulance was called. It felt like the ambulance was taking forever to come. When the ambulance arrived, he was taken into hospital. My husband had a cousin who was working that evening in the hospital. And so when the results came back, the results just didn't look right, but they couldn't be sure what had happened to him because he had fallen backwards. Whether there was some kind of head injury, spinal injury, just didn't know. But the results that they were getting wasn't quite right. So he was then driven to a specialist children's hospital in another city, which was about a two-hour drive. When he arrived there and the tests that they'd done, they found out that he had split his pancreas.
Gosh.
And a pancreas is it's a very odd injury. It's a rare injury. And strangely, I had known somebody that I was working with literally months prior who had lost his wife from a pancreas issue. So it was the scariest thing.
Yeah, instant panic. And yes. To that, yeah, I can imagine.
So the doctors, again, because it's so rare, there isn't a kind of a fix. It all depends on how this particular doctor wants to try and resolve the issue. But he spent the first night very, very critical because he had to have head scans, full body scans, spinal, to see if he had any spinal injuries because of the way he had landed. And it was actually his spine that crushed his pancreas, almost a bit of a, like a protection. And so, yeah, it was just horrible sitting there waiting for the results of every test that he had to go and do, and watching such a young child have to go through something so awful. So the doctors just decided that because of the injury and what the pancreas does, it is managing the digestive fluids in the body, deals with digestions. The way that they wanted to deal with it was that he wasn't allowed to be fed. So he had to come off all food because they didn't want the pancreas to work in doing that. So he was on a drip with no food for about 3 weeks. And you can imagine a child who was at that age, who was used to eating food. It was, yeah, not a very nice experience for him. And he was, I think it's definitely changed him during that time as well. So, so strong, because the doctors would bring food to us and we got to the point where we would say, you know, we didn't want the food to come into his room because we were staying there, you know, day and night with him. But he would say, "Mummy, it's okay. You can eat." And
he's only six at this point. Oh, love him. Gosh.
It took a long time for him to pull through. Because of the way the injury was, I started to worry because I was now in a foreign country. And even though I spoke Italian, it wasn't, you know, medical Italian. And I wasn't sure if they were doing the right things. And so the doctor, you know, my husband assured me that they were doing the best thing, that he wasn't improving. The results, the pancreas wasn't really healing, and he was still in the hospital for 4 weeks. And then I wanted him to go to doctors to change the care that they were giving him. I wanted them to try something else. And then in the end, he was air ambulanced to Manchester Children's Hospital. And then he's had further care from there. Yeah, it was a miracle, because in the end, everything was turned out well. His pancreas started to form again and enclose the back as a whole organ. So what had happened, because when the pancreas split, dangerous liquids were exiting into his stomach, and that was a dangerous situation to be in.
Absolutely.
Then, thankfully, a tumour sort of formed, which was collecting all of the liquids that were exiting. But the size of it was too big for his tummy as well. So we had another issue where we were going, well, how they were going to treat this now, because this was now causing a problem for his body as well. So he was due to be operated from this with this tumour. And when he went to go into the theatre, the tumour had actually disappeared by itself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Exactly. There was one point where it was too big for his body, and then they went in and it completely just shrunk. So, yeah, I mean, I still call him like my miracle baby, because for the fact that, you know, he was that joy after what I'd gone through, and the fact that he survived, you know, what he went through after, he definitely made me stronger. You know, having to be strong for him, how this little boy could cope with what he was going through. And I realised, I have to be strong for him. I have to be strong for my daughter, because they're 16 months apart and they pretty much grew up like twins. She had never spent more than a day without him, ever. So that was quite traumatic for her, that he wasn't coming home. You know, she was always asking, and unfortunately there was times where I couldn't hold it together at home for her, and it did make me stronger through it, because I couldn't hide it from her really, because I was, you know, my husband and I were sometimes taking turns to go backwards and forwards. And so when I was with her, he wasn't there. So it wasn't easy. But yeah, I definitely came out the other side of it feeling stronger.
And children are so resilient, especially with the conversation I had with Lorna. You know, they are so resilient. And there is, you know, like I can't quote a study or anything now, but certainly I have heard, you know, talk about how important it is to show emotions to children and how they learn from us being open with them, don't they? So even though I know it must be like a natural instinct to want to hide everything, actually, you know, like that is totally okay that isn't necessarily the case. And how did you, like, coming out of this, unfortunately, Oscar is well now. And like we talked previously about like being a protective mother to a newborn, like how do you carry on parenting kind of normally after something like that? Because that is a freak accident, isn't it? You know, and we are so worried about something happening to our little ones, but if it actually has, like how do you what was the next time that he went to school like, or like tell us about that.
To start with, at first he went into school, but he wasn't allowed to be in the playground. He wasn't allowed to be in an area where he and do any sports where he could be contacted and causing issues. So that was very, very difficult for him, because he felt like he almost lost contact with his friends, because he couldn't go and play with them, he couldn't go and do any sports, but he needed that was, you know, the medical advice, and that's what he had to go through for a few months. And also for me, I wanted to protect him as well, even more so, because he, you know, where before it was more of sort of that mental bubble for me that he needed, my kids needed, I needed that real physical bubble for him. And almost for both of them, because it just felt like I needed to be around them, and I needed to be the one with my eyes on them. I needed to be make sure that I could see them and protect them. And it made me change, and that's why that was the biggest kick for me starting the business, because like I said prior, I was traveling so much and not spending the time with them that I felt that. I wasn't bringing them up in the way that I wanted to, just being visible. So that was the kick for me to... Mama Bra business was already set up. I had the idea when I was breastfeeding my daughter. But because my job was something that I enjoyed, it was the career that I wanted to do. So I'd worked in the film and TV industry, and I enjoyed it. I wanted to do it, but I had this idea sort of sitting in the back, and I had started it, and I was sort of selling a few online. I'd gone to one baby show, but I never put any sort of real effort into it, purely because my job was so busy. And I said, after my son's accident, but if I could put the same effort into that, then I could make that something. And realised that I had to, if I wanted to spend this time seeing my kids grow up. And that was when I made the decision that I needed to be with them.
Amazing. And like you just, like I knew this coming into this conversation, but even more so hearing your story in full, like you are an inspiration. You really are, like having gone through all of those experiences and now you run Mamba Bra, which for anyone who doesn't know, go on, please do tell us.
So when I had my son, he was the perfect baby in that he breastfed really easily. It came really naturally. And I just loved the experience with him. And I think it was well because of what I'd gone through, everything just, I wanted to be in that pure heaven with him constantly. I didn't mind breastfeeding day and night. He was my only child and it was wonderful. I had a great experience. And so when I had my daughter, I just assumed that it would be exactly the same. So I'd done it before. And I was taken aback when, unfortunately, it wasn't. And I think it was a combination of having another child, where when you're breastfeeding, you haven't got your feet up on your, you know, your rocking chair and on your own and having the time. I had a, you know, a 16-month-old who was potty training, running around, about to pull something off of a shelf. So I could never just sit down and breastfeed her. So she was easily distracted when she was feeding. And she would always go from being very calm to just, I need food now, screaming, never giving me the chance to sort of, like, maybe I just missed her cues because, you know, I had another baby and just didn't get to her on time. So she was very, very fractious baby. So by the time I sort of got her to the boob, it took a while to calm her down. So I just really struggled with her and just felt like I was pulling my hair. I wanted to give up because all the things that I had done before just didn't seem to work. So with my son, I had a nice little journal that I used to write my feed times in, what side I'd breastfed on. And I would start writing something in the book of where I'd fed her from, and then the book wasn't where I placed it, or, you know, so I couldn't remember which side I had to feed from next, and I was suffering with engorged breasts and I felt like I wanted to give up. But because I'd fed my son for almost 18 months, I just thought to myself, I don't want to give up. I really want to give this a real good shot. So I started speaking to my friends and asking them, you know, how do you remember which side to feed on? Like, well, have you seen that app on the phone? So I was like, oh, what a great idea. So I downloaded the app and it was fine when I was sort of out with my friends in a cafe, because I would just go into my bag, get my phone out, and I would know which side. When I was home, it was a complete nightmare because my phone would be upstairs, baby would be downstairs, and it was like an added headache. So I was always still forgetting which side to feed on. And so I started attaching like safety pins to my bras, or I had this bracelet that I would move, and I was like, I can't remember which side was that the side I last fed from? And then that was when the idea of, gosh, I need something on my bra permanently to remind me. And that's when our tracker of the number class, where it has two hooks to help you remember which side to breastfeed from. And then when I was breastfeeding my daughter one particular day, I had a black and white scarf on. So she had this way of going from calm to wanting to eat and screaming, and it was take me a while to calm her down. But this particular day, put her on the breast and she was just instantly soothed. I thought, oh, that's strange, but didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, fed her. The next feed of the day, she did the same. And I started to actually worry because this just wasn't her.
Suspicious.
Yes. And I just thought, okay. Third feed of the day is when I spotted what was going on. She was staring at the scarf that I had on and she was soothed by it. And I assumed to start with that it was a comforter. And I thought, oh, this is great. And I would wear the scarf because I thought she liked it. And then I mentioned it to a friend and they said, do you know it's the black and white in there that's capturing her attention? And I'd heard about this black and white before, but never thought that it could do something that amazing. And then I went to go and do some more research, and I was shocked by the amount of research there was behind how it works with babies' eyes, how it soothes them. And that was like, wow, I've got to tell everybody about this scarf. And that is when I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great if I could actually have that on me all the time? And it was then I was like, that could be in a bra, because it's perfectly placed for where your baby would be looking at. And that is how the whole idea sort of came about. So inspired by my babies, really.
I wish that I had known about them when I was breastfeeding. I really do, because I think they're genius. Like, the clasp is one thing, but the black and white is, and it's like so many brilliant things. It's actually quite straightforward, isn't it? But it's brilliant that you thought of it. It really is. And I say that as a former lingerie buyer as well.
Oh,
so
wow, thank you.
So yeah, no, it's amazing. And I want to say a really, really special thank you. There will For anyone listening, there will be links to Mamba Bra on in the show notes and things. But I just want to say an extra special thank you to you for sharing, because like I said, I know that you haven't shared lots about your experiences publicly. You put the reel out and you'd said to me when we were talking previously that you've had quite a significant response from that, which goes to show how much, you know, people are kind of looking for that support, that bond, that understanding, aren't they?
So more recently on my page and through my stories, I have been sharing a lot of just more of the sort of support for mums. And so many people write to me and say, gosh, I needed those words today. You know, that's really helped. And I think, yeah, that sort of inspired me to want to say a little bit about it, just to help encourage other mums, you know, that you will get through those difficult days. But yeah, I was really pleased that it did make a difference to the mums and people that saw it. And there is hope, you know.
Absolutely. And you are certainly proof of that. And thank you so much for sharing. I'll let you go now. But yeah, really, really appreciate it. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.